We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So there is this active campaign on both sides, either defund the police and rearrange the department as we know it or not. There's a lot of different opinions on it, many of them scattered throughout the city, Minneapolis, and beyond, that says one way or the other, you need to do this or you need to do that. And so I thought, who better to bring in than a guy that has met many members of the Minnesota Police Department, or the Minneapolis Police Department. Many times they greeted him with, you have the right to remain silent. But that's why Prentice Perkins and I get along so well over the years, because I've been followed him forever. He's a great basketball player on the north side of Minneapolis. And he's had his issues here and there. And now he's living out in St. Cloud, and we stay in touch and talk about things like this in real terms. Not just philosophical, not just academic, but what's it really like to live in Minneapolis, and what are the needs of the community really like for someone that has had not necessarily great experiences with the police department there, but also understands the community. Sweet Pea, how are you tonight?
I'm all right, Mike. How you doing?
Good. Always enjoy my visits with you for a number of different reasons, because we can talk about just about anything. And so let's start with that. You've been incarcerated. We've told your story many times. You've been incarcerated many, many years in your life. Yeah. You've gotten to know the police department up close and personal. Some of them you probably even grew up with. What's your impression of the Minneapolis police force in 2021?
Living out here, I don't really have problems with the police, Mike.
Yeah, you don't live in Minneapolis anymore, by the way. You're near St. Cloud.
Yes.
But you know them, and you know who they are and what they're about. Do they make the streets safer? Is there a mistrust factor? What do we have here with the Minneapolis Police Department and the citizens and the people that you know?
Mike, I think it's like this. Like, I was young when I was there. I was in the street. And, was at that time, we had a drug problem. It was a bad drug problem. Selling, using, it was real bad. And so the police were new to the things that they were doing. Well, what happened was they continued to do it. And some of it was real illegal. It was always illegal. You can't just run up and grab people and shake them down, you know, and stuff like that. But as far as us needing police, Mike, we need police. We need them. Yes, we do.
Let's just go through this cycle right now. George Floyd, all that goes with it. There's a thought out there that people don't fear the police right now because they don't need to fear the police, because the police are afraid to do anything that might violate a code of conduct or something illegal. When that's the impression out there, or the reputation, or the word on the street, do the bad guys activate right away and try to take advantage of that?
They definitely have. They have. I mean, you see it, but I don't think this is like a new generation. Okay, these are new players. They're from all over the country, and it's just wild, you know. And because of what happened with George Floyd, it changed the way police did things. But we need them, because everything has intensified as far as the violence all around the country.
Is the violence always come from drugs? Is that where it always starts or not?
Mike, right now, people are just killing. I mean, because they can get away with it. They know that, especially in Minneapolis, the police is going to be late or may not come. Everybody has a gun. There's a gun craze. That's the big thing. The gun craze is the big thing. And, you know, honestly, a coward with a gun is the worst thing in the world, Mike. you got people with guns, and when I ask them, are you waiting for someone to shoot at you or threaten you or hit you? So you're going to kill a person if they hit you, threaten you, or any of that, you're going to kill them because you got a permit to carry, and that's what's happening.
Okay, how many of those guns, or how easy is it to get an illegal gun?
It used to be easy. I don't know now because, you know, I'm not around, but a gun was the easiest thing you could get.
When you lived in the city, and you're certainly at least familiar with it, do you know just about everybody that you come in contact with as to whether or not, you know, do they carry, or they would not be afraid to use it? I mean, is the word on the street, does it get out quickly, and you know who you're dealing with all the time, even if it's an opposing gang or someone that maybe you don't know personally? Does that word travel fast?
I hate to say this, Mike, but I'm an old man. If I see a young man, 17, 15, 16, Mike, I'm going to think he got a gun.
You're going to assume that if they're in a street corner or something like that?
Yes, I'm going to assume it. And I'm going to go the other way.
If you don't violate them, will they not use their gun? Or are you saying they're at a point now where you don't want to take your chances because as long as they consider themselves to be disrespected, they might pull it?
Mike, a man shot a 12-year-old boy, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's it, Mike. They don't care. People don't have no consideration for life anymore. It's terrible. And yes, because of that fact, we need police. We actually need them to be a little more intense, really.
And at a time when we need them to be more intense, they can't, and then they're fighting the city council and everybody else to try to figure out what their place is even going to be in this city. When you were back in the day, even when you were having your problems, did you trust the police, not trust the police, or did it all depend on which officer it was?
Oh, Mike. It depends on that time of my life, what I was involved in. Right now, I trust them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? When I was younger, involved in a little negativity here and there, no, I didn't. But if I would have been doing right, I probably would have trusted them. When I was at Washington, I trusted them.
When you were not doing right and you were doing your thing in Minneapolis, did you know police officers? Would you converse with them? Was there a relationship, or do you just always run when you see them?
Yeah, but we didn't really converse or nothing. You know, I knew a few. You know, one had played for North, his brother, him. But no, I didn't really personally know police like that. You had some that were regularly in the neighborhood, but when I had trouble with the police, I didn't get another opportunity. It was over for me, you know. So,
you mean once they came and got you?
Yeah, that was it for me. It was never meet them, run into them, and keep. Nah, it was over.
What could police officers do differently to help themselves in a community?
Get in the community, talk to the neighborhoods, learn about the people. Communities such as North should be policed by people that know about that type of environment. You know what I'm saying? You got to put people in that's from that environment in there. You can't put a guy from the suburbs there because he's already going to be scared already. And he's probably listening to what his parents told him too.
So, Prentice, I'm gonna give you this. This is a real story, and I want to get your take on it. Recently, there was a party at a house in the suburbs. They don't know if it was an abandoned house or what the state of the house was, if anybody was living there or not. Pretty soon there were some issues, and the police got involved, and there was a police chase, and they arrested people for drugs and guns and all those things. But all these people congregated in the suburbs at one house for whatever reason. There was a reason to believe that they could go out there and do this freely, whatever it was, and obviously it wasn't all good because the police came and arrested people and took them down, and it was for some pretty serious stuff. When I tell you that story, what does that sound like to you? How does that happen that you'd go congregate in one house in the suburbs and that it would be filled with that kind of violence if you came from the cities?
Well, Mike, nowadays most people live in the suburbs, St. Cloud, Brooklyn Park, Brooklyn Center, you know, most people live there. But again, when you got these young people or strongly street-minded people, if wherever they go, they're going to give a show. I mean, I'm out here in St. Cloud, and, you know, every now and again, you'll hear it, you know, people get shot. It goes, you know, yeah, yeah, wherever they go, they're going to give a show, and they really don't even have to.
But they want to. It's a part of their who they want to be, huh?
That's true. That's what it is. That's what it is. There's a lot of merits in, you know, having a gun, shooting a gun. That's that for some people, in their mind, that's a tough thing. I'm tough now. But actually, if you listen to people, everybody's going to the gun range. Everybody wants a gun. I really don't understand it. You know, like, so what, you just going to shoot? Because Minnesota don't have a make my day law. So,
going to jail. And believe me, you know the laws.
Yeah.
How many times did you have a gun drawn on you in your life, do you think?
Say it again?
How many times did you have a gun drawn on you, not by a police officer, but by someone else on the street? How many times do you think you had somebody pull a gun on you?
I've had a gun put on me a few times, Mike. I have.
What's the most scared you ever were that somebody was going to shoot you?
When I lived over south Minneapolis by Powderhorn.
And what happened? I mean, what would cause something like that?
I opened the door. A young guy asked me, was I selling some? I think I had alcohol. And I said, yeah. I turned back, and he had a big gun right there. And from that day, I was done. I was done with the streets.
Well, did he want to steal the alcohol or whatever it was that you had that you were selling from you, or what was the reason for the gun?
He sort of emptied my pockets. Yeah.
He just wanted anything that you had.
Anything.
Hmm. Wow.
Mike, I lost friends for less than $800, man.
You mean because somebody shot him?
The gun violence, yeah.
When they get shot, if you are on the streets, do you generally know who did it or not?
Honestly, Mike, I think a lot of those people at one time or another was friends. Honestly.
Ah, okay, I gotcha. And then something goes awry.
Yes.
And it either involves drugs, money, or a girl, right?
One of the, yep.
I mean, I'm right, right? I mean, that's usually what it is, right?
That's true.
Yeah. So is it, when somebody disrespects somebody, I mean, what's the code on the street? What merits using a gun? At what point do you say, hey, what you did to me is so bad that I'm going to pull it on you?
Again, Mike, I really don't know what's it like now, but back in the day, a gun was the extreme. That was the extreme of everything.
That was the final blow, huh?
Yeah, that was it. That was it. And people didn't miss their targets, and they didn't have accidents with kids or none of that. That's what it was. That's how you can tell that it's a really... You got to think, Mike, some of these people with these guns, man, have mental illnesses.
Right, and they're carrying a gun, and sometimes they're shooting them into a house, and they don't care. Right? It's not a target.
Yeah, they don't care. Yeah.
Man, I tell you. Now, let me ask you, I never asked this question. When George Floyd was convicted that day, when they read the verdict,
yes.
Did you think that he was going to get convicted, or did you think he was going to walk? Officer Chauvin, I mean, of course.
That much time.
What's that?
I didn't think he was going to get that much time.
You didn't?
No, I didn't think. I thought it was probably 5 years or something.
Really? Just because of the way you were brought up and the things you see, and that's what would tell you, or what?
Yeah, they've been doing whatever they want to us forever. And they always find a reason to justify it. I'm still trying to figure out the Tysail thing. You know, like, how didn't he go to jail? You know, but, you know.
So, and do you think that's the way most people that you grew up with, African-American in Minneapolis, viewed it? That they thought he'd get off, and that maybe not get off, but he wouldn't get much?
Some people aren't happy with the time he has now.
Yeah.
You know, but, yeah, we thought he might have got off, yeah.
Wow. Wow. I could talk to you all day about this stuff. I'll do it another time. Give me your take as a former basketball star. Do you like the Timberwolves this year?
I love the Timberwolves.
Because?
Will they win it? No.
Because why? What do you like about them?
I'm a Minnesotan.
You got no choice.
If you're from Minnesota, you got to like the Twins, the Vikings, and the T-Wolves. You got to. It's just what we do.
You got no choice, right?
No choice.
All right, everything good for you otherwise?
Yeah, life's okay, Mike. I can't complain.
All right. Someday I'd like to bring a couple people, young people, by up to St. Cloud there and take you out for a cup of coffee and chop it a little bit and have you tell your story to them, because I think they need to hear it. You know what I'm saying?
Let's do it.
All right, buddy. Good to talk to you.
Yep. Take care, Mike.
The one and only Prentice Perkins. I've known him since 1989. And, you know, when you think about having sources as a reporter, you think about, you know, this coach for that, and then, you know, I go to that player for that, and this and that. You got to have more sources than that. One of them that I've cultivated are these street sources. And my best one, there's police officers that can tell me what's going on from their vantage point. But then there's Prentice. Prentice was as good a guard as we've seen. Well, Khalid El-Amin was best to come out of the north side, then Lawrence McKenzie, and then Prentice, I would say. But he was good. He was talented. He was, you know, he was free ride, ability-wise, all those things. Had the NBA looking at him when he was playing at the University of Washington, and then things started to go wrong when he started to sell drugs and get caught. But when I try to figure out how the inner city works and the mindset of the people that are doing the things that they shouldn't be doing, I go to Prentice, because he's been there. And he can kind of give me the reset button or explain to me some of the things. One time I saw in Prentice about a guy, and I said, a guy he knew, and I said, boy, that guy's done well. He buys properties and rents them out, and he's done well in the inner city doing that. And he started laughing. And I said, what are you laughing at? He said, you think that guy is making his money from buying these properties and then renting them out at a fair price to everybody in the neighborhood? And I said, well, it sounds like he owns all kinds of properties. He just laughed. He goes, are you kidding me? He's selling something, all right, but it ain't houses. But I guarantee you, he's selling something, and everybody's like, everybody in the street knows that. How could you be so dumb, Mike?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.